Hello, everybody. Good evening. This is the TBK podcast. It's myself, LL, with Rash and Tunde from the Boxing Banter group. So this is a post-reaction video, I guess, straight to, you know, straight after the AJ fight, AJ versus Pulev. So, you know, post-fight interview, AJ said, more action, less talking. And yeah, you know, it was, I mean, let's get straight into this here, guys, yeah? The AJ that we saw tonight, yeah, I think that we kind of need to, like, you know, break that down in terms of what, you know, what all three of us thought that we saw. I'll go first. Now, the first knockdown, you know why I like that first knockdown? Because it was a pull counter of Floyd Mayweather was in the building. It was a pull counter and Floyd Mayweather was in the building, yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the AJ that we saw tonight, I felt it was a mix of the boxer AJ that fought Andy Ruiz and a mix of the, you know, the ferocious AJ who just wants to knock people out. It was a bit of both. I think he mixed his styles quite well tonight. I mean, that's my opinion. I want to know about how you feel today, because obviously you guys done the review on the Pulev and AJ fight, and AJ didn't break his nose, I don't think. Probably broke his jaw. So whoever you had that bet with Tunde, yeah, you know, I think you might owe them money, but he probably broke his jaw for all the talking he was doing. So how did you assess AJ's performance?
You know what, I thought it was a really good measured performance. Like, I think, like, as you were saying earlier, I think it's an amalgamation of the fighter in him and the boxer. Like, he's, you know, he was doing really good work with his jab, like kept him at bay in a really tentative first round. Once he found his distance, then he started to work on him a little bit more, then hurt him in the third round, and like literally I was slapping my coffee table so hard I thought it was going to break. Like, you know, he just, and I thought he almost had him out of there in the fourth. But he's, and this is what I keep saying to people about AJ, like he has the intelligence and the discipline to sort of hold back. Whereas before he would have gone after him and then maybe get clipped.
You know, that's right. Yeah,
it's now he's like, okay, you know what, I've got him hurt. Let me, and the beautiful thing was, he went back to his jab. He went back to his jab, and he just started to work on him again. And you know, apart from a couple times when, you know, Pulev got to him, like, and he rode those shots well, Pulev didn't trouble him. So all of that posturing and madness he was coming with after the weigh-in. I mean, AJ did a really good job. And the thing is, you know, Fury needs to get AJ as early as possible, because the longer he fights this way, then it's going to be peak for Fury. If Fury doesn't get to him before summer, then like, I just don't see Fury beating him. Like, he's, and the thing is, you saw him just trying out certain things. Like, I mean, the uppercuts that he was like, you know, just delivering throughout the fight. Like, I mean, Pulev ate a lot of uppercuts. Yeah, quite a few of them sort of like grazed him, missed and whatnot. But when he did clip him, and it's unexpected in a fighter of his stature, and I like to see that. You understand, like, because I know he kind of modeled himself from Tyson, like, you know, back in the day when he first started boxing. But his dimensions don't really allow for that style of fighting. He needs to like keep it long, soften them up, and then just take him out. And that's what he did. He was patient, and I think the two best attributes of a fighter is intelligence and discipline. If you don't have the intelligence, then your coach needs to do the plan for you, right? You can't adjust in the ring. If you have the intelligence, then you can adjust. If you've got the discipline, right? So, you know, your base nature is like, you want to just take a man out. But he just, you know, he didn't quite get him out of there. He just went back to plan A, jab, jab, jab. Come over with the right hand, step back, give yourself space. And it was a really good measured performance. And then when he knew he had him, He came at him with the uppercuts. One, two, three. Third one.
He was throwing them all in a row, wasn't he?
He
was throwing the uppercuts in a row. Sorry, Tunde. I just wanted to get Rash's perspective on it as well, because he's here as well. I kind of half forgot he was here because, you know, he was talking so long. But you're definitely right. You're definitely right. You know what I mean? The uppercuts was interesting, how he kept on trying with the uppercuts. But I'll talk on that in a minute. I just want to kind of get Rack kind of just, you know, give his take on it before I give mine.
Yeah, well gone, people. I'm that forgetful, yeah? I think going back to what you're saying about the whole Floyd Mayweather thing, I think even the jab to the stomach as well, I think that was a bit Floyd-esque in that. I think I was very impressed with AJ's performance, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to outbox Pulev the way he did, you know what I'm saying? I think Pulev's got a very good jab, and I was expecting Pulev's jab to kind of trouble AJ a little bit more than it did. But AJ came out and he was spearing the jab with him. His movement was good. I think it was a very mature, calculated performance by AJ. He didn't rush it like how he rushed in against Ruiz in the first time. Even when he had him hurt, like in that third round, like after the fourth, he kind of thought like, yeah, he knew he wasn't ready to take him out then. Do you know what I'm saying? So he just thought, yeah, let me just kind of like marinate him a bit more to kind of get the finish. The only thing I would say that I think he should have done a little bit more is maybe when he was fake the body jab and come up with the left hook, because that's how Vlad took out Pulev, was with the left hook. I don't know if he faked the body jab, but it was just a left hook out of nowhere. Do you know what I'm saying? With regards to the future and Fury, I didn't see that much that would trouble Fury. But the interesting thing about Fury is that when he tends to get overconfident, he doesn't do well. I think, especially when he's fighting a good fighter, he doesn't tend to do that well. I think he got quite overconfident against Steve Cunningham. He got dropped. I know it wasn't that much of a competitive fight, but he got dropped. He got overconfident against Wallin, and that ended up being a dog fight. So I think when he fights someone good and he's quite overconfident, that's when he's there for the taking, isn't it? And the talk that he's been giving AJ is like he just doesn't, like he thinks he's just gonna dust AJ. So I think
I actually disagree.
Okay.
I disagree with you on the Fury thing. Because I'll tell you why I disagree. Because Steve Cunningham, you know, Fury's a big man. He knew that Steve Cunningham came from the lighter weight. So I believe that he had that complacency about him. You know, Wallin, it's like, you know, who is he? Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah?
I think that's what I'm saying though.
Okay, but I thought you were saying that he would possibly get overconfident with AJ because, you know, AJ's a good fighter. But the thing is, I think Fury performs when it's a big fight.
I think Fury performs better when he's the underdog. I think when he's the heavy favorite, or when he doesn't rate someone, like he and they're actually quite good, that's when he can get complacent. And I think because with Wilder, I think even though he didn't really rate Wilder's skill set that much, he knew that right hand was there. Do you know?
Yeah, respect to the power.
He was showing him a lot of respect in that first fight. So I think he was like, yeah, shit, I need to be on my game. Whereas when he doesn't really see those threats or whatever, that's when he tends to get a bit complacent. So I think that's it could be Fury's undoing, really, because I think he might be so overconfident that he's going to wrap up AJ that like, AJ might just clot him and then just go in for the finish and finish him. But that's all in the future. We need that fight to get signed tonight.
Tonight
it was AJ's night. He did his thing. He boxed well. He boxed a very mature fight. It was against a good world class operator, not elite, but I think he's a very good. He beats most people that aren't elite. So AJ did his thing, man. Definitely.
Okay. So what I was impressed with about AJ was the angles that he was trying to pick when he was throwing the uppercuts. Like, you know, the way he was stepping around Pulev and looking for the openings coming from under. Like, that was quite impressive. But I mean, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I felt like he didn't go to the body enough. The only time he was really going to the body was when he was throwing the jab. But it's like when he had Pulev in trouble, you know, he was just headhunting and going for like the uppercut, when I felt like, you know, he should have probably gone downstairs a little bit more with a couple of hooks and stuff. You know what I mean? But I mean, do you guys agree with that, Tunde? Do you agree with that? Do you disagree?
I agree in parts. I think with AJ, he's, because with certain boxers, there are those that have a preference for going to the body, like a Dillian White, or, you know, certain other boxers that, like, they love to go to the body. AJ's never been like that. Like, you know, even sort of like the jabs to the body, I haven't seen him do that.
That was a new thing, yeah.
That's a new thing. So these are things that he's been working on. And what I like the most, more than anything, is the fact that we're now starting to see, you know, what he's been working on. Like, I think the best thing that ever happened to him was him losing against Ruiz, because that complacency has gone. It's gone. Mm. Like, it's, you know, where now he's thinking, okay, you know what, I'll just turn up and spark a man out. No. So, you know, and we see that in his fighting. So, like, you know, like we just said, he just softened man up. The man wasn't quite cooked yet, so let the steak stay on the grill for a little bit longer. Turn him a little bit, make sure that redness has gone out, then spark him up. And that's yeah, what he did. Just going back to what Unirash was saying about Fury, right? I agree with you both in that Fury is somebody who he has to be motivated and he has to be the underdog. So with Deontay, everybody wrote him off because, like, you know, even his own dad wrote him off and said, look, you're going to get killed out there. That's the sort of thing that he thrives on. When he doesn't have that, that's when he gets in trouble. AKA, I'm sorry, with Wallin and Thompson, right? AJ, he has a lot of respect for, right? And I think deep down, he has a little fear of him. It will bring out the best in him, right?
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe that he will bring out the best of him. He's not going to take man lightly, right?
Never, never. He will never take AJ lightly.
Even if people are saying, you know, I think... you know, Fury's the slight favourite guy, and da 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 da. He's not gonna take man like that. He's like, because he knows that, you know, AJ has the potential to hurt him and hurt him quite badly. Like, AJ is a finisher, he can be quite brutal. You understand? He doesn't sort of like mess up his work or rush his well, not the way that he used to anyway. So I just think that that fight has to come fairly soon for Fury, because if it's later, then
come on, carry on, Sunday. Oh, carry on. Finish what you're saying.
Yeah, so, like, you know, for me, AJ did a... He did a very... It was a very measured, very good performance. There was hints of his brutality in there. The way that he just sparked man out at the end with a right and bust his lip. I wanted him to bust his nose, but, you know, bust
You know, obviously we're talking about Fury because, you know, that's for undisputed. But, you know, I see, I don't want to be critical of AJ because it was a very good performance, yeah? I do feel like I saw hints of ring rust there, yeah? Like, his jab was better than Pulev's and it seemed good in spots, yeah? But then comparing his jab to, like, Joe Joyce's, like, Joe Joyce's jab was, like, something, like, hurtful and stinging. Yeah, do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I kind of saw, like, the same, what's the word I'm trying to look for?
Viciousness.
Like, yeah, with his jab. Like, do you understand what I'm saying, yeah? And I was looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? I think Joe Joyce would give AJ problems because his chin is, like, something crazy. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah? And it's like, I don't know. I know Dubois was... How high was Dubois in the WBO? Was he the manager for the WBO?
He was number two.
So, okay. So he was number two. So Joe Joyce has beat him now. So obviously Joe Joyce is coming up. It's like, you know, we're talking about Fury, but he's still got to deal with Usyk. You know, Joe Joyce is on the way up as well. It's like, there's these other guys. And I don't know. There's a possibility that, you know, if not AJ, then Fury might want to have another fight before that fight even happens. So if Fury then decides to have another fight, like AJ said, he wants to get busy straight away within 3 months. That I very much doubt at this point that the undisputed fight is going to happen within 3 months. So they're probably going to take another fight. Who would they fight if they don't fight each other?
It will probably be towards the end of next year, like late summer, towards the end of next year. I think that in regards to Joyce, I like Joyce and I like the job that he did on Dubois, but Dubois is overrated. And I've said this from the beginning. he's overrated and he was thrown in too early, right? Joyce, although he's got an absolute granite chin, yeah, he's very slow on his feet. And even that jab is quite, it's very methodical and it's very vicious, but it's very slow. You know, Usyk danced rings around him when he was in the WBSS. You know, his footwork isn't great. He moves like he's stuck in quicksand. Yeah.
But there's just something strange about Joe Joyce, though. Like, I never really used to like him as a fighter. I used to just look at him like he was Lurch, yeah? You know, you remember Lurch from that? Yeah. But there's some, after the Dubois fight, there's just something strange. I feel like we're looking at the wrong things with Joyce. We're looking at the wrong things. We're trying to look at, you know, his speed and, you know, his footwork and stuff like that. But really and truly, it's like you got to worry about his jab and his chin. Because my worry with AJ, if AJ went up against someone like Joyce, is that he's going to throw his best shot, Joyce is going to take it, and he's going to, you know what I mean? He's going to gas himself out, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Trying to take someone like that out. I'm getting a bit sidetracked here, talking about Joyce and that, yeah? But yeah, these are just the thoughts that were kind of running through my mind as I was watching AJ's performance against Pulev. Do you know what I mean?
I'll answer that point, right? With Joyce, he's... Like I said, he's very, very good, but we have to look at who he's fought in his, what's it, 10, 11 fights, right?
Yeah.
The further he goes through, you know, the higher he goes through the rankings, then the better the opponents are, right? These are not people that are just going to stand there and just wait for his slow jab to hit them in the eye.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. You know, we need to consider that because he's not touching Fury. He's not touching Fury. There's no way Fury will dance rings around him. Yeah. You know, I think that he's definitely sort of like top three, top four, well, top five, definitely. Like he beats a lot of the heavyweights out there. But I think his lack of movement is too slow. Like AJ doesn't even need to knock him out. AJ could just build up points. Dubois was ahead on points.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if his eye, you know, behaved itself, then, like, you know, he would have won had it carried on.
Could have been a different story, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, just like, AJ's not going to stand there in front of him and let him bust his eye like that. There's no way. And AJ's got much better movement. And what I liked today, in the fight was that there was some head movement because that wasn't there before.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to touch on that as well. Like that was actually quite a positive thing, to be honest. That was quite positive seeing because Pulev couldn't land on him. Like every time Pulev was trying to throw that hook, AJ always seemed to, and it was always just like, you know, like when you see like a fighter make someone miss just by an inch. Mm. It's like he made Pulev miss by an inch a load of times. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and that was quite impressive seeing that coming from AJ.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like. But again, like I got to touch on the body shots again, yeah, because I feel like someone like Fury, if you're headhunting, yeah, someone like Fury, yeah, you're gonna find yourself having a long night. Like I feel like he needs to work on.
Need to go to the body.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, getting on the inside and getting to the body and that, yeah, with Fury and that, and then maybe coming up with the uppercut. But to just be, you know, leading with the uppercut, I mean, it will work against someone like Pulev. Obviously, I'm sure AJ knows that. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, but you know, someone like, I mean, it worked. I didn't see it happening prior to the fight, but I've seen him do it and it worked. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But obviously, Fury's got different dimensions. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, Rash. I mean, do you want to step into the conversation again?
I think the point that you're making about AJ headhunting with Pulev was right. I think he probably could have gone to the body a little bit more. I think if he kind of slammed the uppercut into the body, he probably would have got him out there a little bit quicker. And you're completely right. Headhunting against Fury is ludicrous because he's got such good upper body head movement. Do you know what I'm saying? I think and if and when he does fight Fury will make him miss a lot. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think and also Fury can fight on the inside as well. So it's one of them. I think Fury is probably one of the most versatile, balanced fighters out there today. So I think he's going to need to really be on his A game to beat Fury. To be honest, but again, it's just the overconfidence that I think goes in AJ's favor. With regards to Joyce and Dubois, I think it's not even really fair to compare because Dubois is not really even on Pulev's level right now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's still,
yeah,
you know,
for real.
So, and it's not even any disrespect to Dubois, because I had Dubois beating Joyce before. So that's not a disrespect to Dubois. I think Dubois needs, I think he needs to be seasoned a little bit more. But just to stick with the point with AJ and Pulev for tonight. I think AJ could have gone to the body a little bit more and set up the knockout, so he could have got it a bit sooner. But I think he also didn't want to commit to the body, then get countered. You know what I'm saying? Because he was just trying to take his time and everything, which I think is what he should have done, really. So I'm interested to see where he goes next, really.
I'll be honest, I'm not even going to try and blag it. I'm not going to lie. I missed the Okoye fight. Yeah, Lawrence Okoye, yeah. Because, you know, obviously I was quite busy, and Lawrence Okoye in the past has kind of put me off of his style of fighting. But I was in the chat room, and I could see like a lot of positive comments about his performance. I mean, did any of you guys watch it? Do you guys want to touch on what you think of Okoye's performance?
I saw it. It was... It was a good performance, and like he had man doing like some sort of breakdown.
Yeah, I saw it. That was so strange. Like, I actually saw the highlight of it. Yeah, like someone posted that. That dance was so. I've never seen someone like do the shimmy like that.
Like he caught the Holy Spirit, brother. Like he was just like, "Wait, I want to spit out his gumshoe and start speaking in tongues." Like,
you know, he had that look. Like in that moment, he forgot his name. In that moment where you're like, oh shit, yeah, like, oh, where am I? I'm in Wembley Arena. Oh shit, he's gonna hit me again. What? Like, it was, I saw the highlight, yeah, you know, I didn't actually watch the whole fight, you know what I mean? But yeah, okay. So, I mean, okay, so how would you, first let me ask you, I'll ask Tunde, then I'll ask Rash to go. So let's rate Lawrence Okoye's performance out of 10, and let's rate AJ's performance out of 10. What would you score him? You go first, Tunde.
I will give Okoye a 7. You know, shook off the ring rust, got his man out of there within a couple rounds. Like, he did everything that was asked of him, and it was a much more positive performance from Okoye. So none of that sort of like, you know, jab, punch, grab foolishness that he was doing before. With AJ, I'll give him an 8. I'll give him an 8.5. He did what he had to do. He got the knockout, but he was measured in his performance, and he was disciplined. And that's the thing that impressed me the most. He implemented or introduced new bits and pieces to his game, like in regards with the you know, the head movement. His jabbing was a lot more assured. He could have done, like you said, with jabbing to the body a bit more, or well, not even jabbing to the body, but you know, going for the body a bit more with hooks. I wouldn't say he should go to the body with uppercuts though, because of his dimensions. He's in order to do that, he would have to crouch down, so that wouldn't be great. But in terms of sort of like hooks and stuff, like, you know, to the ribs, to the liver, yeah, he can do more of that because he's got the power to really hurt people to the body. But I would give him an 8. It's a really good performance from AJ after a year out. I'm very pleased with what he's done.
Okay, Rash, you wanna follow?
Yeah, I didn't. I properly see Okoye. I only saw like the last run and everything, and I saw the stoppage. So, props to Okoye and everything. Hopefully, he can get his world title shot, and we'll see if he wins. Maybe he's not ready. With regards to AJ, I think it's a solid 8. I think he boxed well. Like you said, there's a few little things he needs to work on, but hopefully next year we can see this Fury fight and everything, because that's what the fans want to see. We don't want to see another Wilder situation where it's dragging on for years, and this person's talking about this person ducking, that person's talking about, we want to see it now. It's the time now to make these fights happen, because we don't know what's going to happen next with life in it. So we might as well just make these fights whilst these guys are both young and healthy, man.
Sorry. Sorry about that. I think for me, I mean, I didn't watch the Okoye fight. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I saw the knockout. It was quite impressive seeing the guy do the shimmy like that. But, you know, I didn't watch the fight, so it wouldn't be fair for me to even comment on that fight. With AJ, I think that You know, see, I want to be a bit of an idiot and just say, oh, I want to give him a 7.5. But I think 8's fair. Only because, you know, the things that I'm judging AJ on is like, you know, I'm seeing different things that he's adding to his game. Since the Ruiz loss, every time he's come out, he showed us a different wrinkle in his game, which I like. You know, like the first time, man, you know, when he come out against Ruiz, you know, he was moving around a lot more. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he was like, you know, he kept it long. Because AJ, prior to the Ruiz fight, he was actually an inside fighter, despite the fact that he was quite tall. He didn't used to use his length like that. In this fight here, you know, he showed, like Tunde alluded to, he showed good head movement. Do you know what I mean? He was quite evasive, like, you know what I mean? He was quite evasive. And that jab to the body as well, that was also a nice little touch. Yeah, that was also a nice little touch to his game, like, which I hadn't really seen him utilized to that degree before. And again, you know, I just love his confidence in using the uppercut. He said he wanted to pay homage to Mike Tyson. I just remember Mike Tyson, you know, coming with a hook to the body and then coming up down the middle with the uppercut. I didn't really see AJ doing that. He just came straight up the middle with the uppercut. But you know, you know, it's something he's gonna work in, I guess. And you know, he's definitely improving. I don't know if I have him ahead of Fury at the moment based on that performance. I need to wait to see Fury go out the next time, and then it will be easier to kind of assess where I kind of look at the both of them. But yeah, I'm more confident as well that Undisputed is actually going to happen, because you know, Fury, despite what some people might think about him in terms of some of the easier fights that he takes before he actually steps up to the, you know, to the big leagues and takes on the big boys and does them over, Fury, I feel like he does have integrity, and I feel like he's actually serious. I don't believe that he's trying to avoid anybody. I think Fury's a man of his word, and they're going to be sitting at the negotiation table, and Fury's going to be trying to, you know, get all he can get out of the fight. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just going to be about, you know, the right figures, basically. That's all it's going to be about. I don't think there's going to be no messing around between the two of them. So yeah, I mean, that's my take on it anyway. So yeah, so we all said 8, we're kind of unanimous in that. It was a good night for AJ. AJ won, you know, British heavyweight boxing is back. I think we should sign out on that note. TBK podcast, and you know, myself, LL, we have Rash, and we have Tunde from the Boxing Banter group, and that's it. We're gonna sign off. Yeah, cheers. Take it easy.
All right, later.
And this is the TBK podcast.
All right, this is the TBK podcast. Today, you'll be speaking with myself, Richard, Tunde and David. It's an immediate fight reaction to Anthony Joshua stopping Kubrat Pulev in 9 rounds. Tunde, what did you think?
I thought it was, just sort of like reflecting on the fight the morning after. Yesterday I was gassed. I was really happy with his performance. He did what he had to do. I like the fact that he's been working on his discipline. So there was a couple of moments in the fight, in the third round when, like, I know he wanted to jump on man properly, but he sort of like stepped back. He hadn't cooked him properly yet. And he just stuck behind the jab, just did what he had to do. And when he found an opening again, he just laced him with the uppercuts. And that was it. Like, you know, man was done. He was finished. He had head movement, good lateral movement, which he didn't have before in his previous fight. So, you know, that bodes well for his future fights. You know, his leg work was great. He was just moving in and out. Pulev didn't really have any sort of like really good moments. I mean, he had a couple of times where he sort of like caught AJ clean, but it didn't really bother AJ. I think all round, like I said yesterday, I gave him an 8. I still stick with that.
8 is quite high.
8 is quite high, but at the end of the day, like, you can only beat what's put in front of you. You know, Pulev is somebody who, I mean, he's not elite, but he's there and thereabouts. He's a solid fighter, very good amateur background. He's only been beaten once before, you know, by Klitschko. And he had Klitschko in trouble in the first round, I believe. Yeah. So he's not a shoddy fighter. you know, he's got some really good fundamentals to him. So, you know, AJ did the job on him, and he told him what he would do, and he did it. Like, yeah. I've got no complaints. And the thing is, it's easy for people to say, well, he could have done this, he could have done that. I would like to see them do that. Understand? So, mm-hmm. And it's I mean, I've said this before. This is somebody who's been fast-tracked into boxing. Like, he's only been in boxing 12 years, 11 years as amateur and professional.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody who hasn't even laced up. Oh, he was 18, 19 when he laced up a pair of gloves for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's been world champion for, like, what, 4 years, apart from that six-month period where, you know, he got beat and he had to fight Ruiz again. He's been fast-tracked. He was in his 15th fight, 16th fight when he got the IBF, right? He had no business being in that fight.
Yeah.
So he's done exceptionally well for where he is.
An experienced fighter.
Yeah, he's done very, very well. So for me, like, I think 8 is a fair assessment of the fight. I've got no complaints. He did really well.
He did. Does this change your perspective on how the Fury Joshua fight goes?
No, because I always thought that AJ would have a good chance with Fury. I still believe that, you know, Fury's somebody who's been underrated for a long time. That didn't change until the second Chisora fight, where people start to think, there's a little bit about this man. And then that was solidified when he beat Klitschko. Although that was a scrappy affair and whatnot, he did what he had to do. Yeah. Now when he just dismantled Deontay Wilder, in the first fight he beat him clean, despite getting knocked down. Then in the second fight he just destroyed the man. Yeah. So now everybody's got him up there as the, you know, this is the ideal heavyweight fighter. Nobody can beat him, which is a nonsense. I think AJ... The difference between AJ and Deontay is that AJ's got much better fundamentals. He's you know, clearly a better boxer. His power is more bludgeoning than just, you know, like a one-punch knockout power that Deontay has. And he's got much better movement. He's got an excellent jab if he chooses to use it. So these are the sort of things that I believe can trouble Fury. Fury can get knocked down. He can get knocked down. The only thing with Fury is that he has got incredible stamina for somebody of his size. Mm-hmm. He's got excellent footwork. He's got excellent movement. He's got really good lateral movement. So those are the sort of things that could trouble AJ, plus the jab that Fury has. So I think it's more 50-50 for me. Anybody can win that fight, to be honest.
Yeah. Brilliant. David, what's your viewpoint on the fight? And have you managed to look at any feedback online and what the general consensus is?
Yeah. So my viewpoint on the fight is I was hoping that AJ was going to step into the ring and show us something we hadn't seen before because, you know, I always question the second Ruiz fight in that his defense has always worried me. Because he balls up. He you know, he puts his hands up rather than slip. And I was hoping that he was going to show that he could slip a punch, pull counter, and really just work off of a solid 1-2 via the jab and a power punch. He ticked all of those boxes for me yesterday.
Brilliant.
Emphatically. Now, you know, whether there's a preference towards him or not, I don't think is the point, in the sense of he brought to the table something that shows that fight on fight, he's developing. I also feel pretty strongly about the fact that right now he showed a lot of people why he gets talked so much smack about. Because not only has he got the humility, the star appeal, the knockout ratio, but now he's showing And
yeah.
I don't think we've necessarily seen enough boxing skill. We've seen skill, but I don't think we've seen it in the sense of
not level.
You know, nah, definitely not. Definitely not. I do feel that some of the feedback I've seen online, I'm not impressed by it because, you know, you've got, I was having this conversation yesterday, funny enough, with Tunde, and you look at the PBC, Lennox Lewis is in there, company man, you look at The Zone, you've got Brian Kelly, you've got Sergio Mora, company men, mm-hmm. you go to Top Rank or ESPN, you got Andre Ward and Tim Bradley, company men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's so what for I me. To ask you, did you see the Andre Ward and Tim Bradley response?
Oh, I saw it. And I mean, with Tim Bradley, I do think, if I'm honest with you, I think Tim Bradley talks a lot of rubbish for the most part. But what I will say about Tim Bradley is, you can clearly see his enthusiasm for the sport. Yeah. It always comes through. Even if he's got an agenda, it always comes through. He can't help talking about what he likes to see and what he likes from a fighter. I think with Andre Ward, you know, people have got to always kind of question what Andre Ward has said about Joshua, because at one stage after he beat Kovalev, he was like, well, there's no reason why he can't go and fight for the heavyweight title and knock out Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
it seems like there's a bit of an issue between them two, doesn't it?
Well, an issue, I'd say more of an agenda on Ward's part anyway. You know, I don't know if I go as far as say there's an issue. I think Ward's got the issue, because Joshua's.
Just to be clear for the audience, can we repeat Andre Ward's opinion on the fight? What did he say about Joshua yesterday?
Well, he didn't feel that Joshua did too. What was it he said again? That he didn't feel. If one of you can remember this a bit clearer than I can, feel free to jump in though.
He did say that he didn't feel that Joshua was going to beat Fury, didn't he? That was the main.
Yeah.
Crux of what you're saying, that Joshua as he is has no chance.
The thing is, you know, I think Andre Ward being more fleet footed, more of a fighter than a puncher, he will probably always support fighters that are like that. And in the heavyweight division, despite Wilder getting stopped, Fury's more of a boxer than Fury's more of a fighter than puncher. And I think Andre Ward will always kind of lean towards that kind of person. Do you know what I mean? Like he will always lean towards that style of fighter a bit more than he would, you know, the bludgeoning knockout merchant. But the thing that Tunde touched on, which we can't really escape or deny, is for someone who's not got the extensive boxing pedigree in terms of amateur and professional, and someone who's still learning on the job, I think Joshua's progress has been nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah.
You got to thank Matchroom, you got to thank Fast Car, like Mr. Hearn, because he's matched him up quite well. But the thing for me that I always kind of come back to is he's never been shy of taking a risk.
Yeah.
You know, people can talk about how old Klitschko was when he knocked Klitschko out, but at the end of the day, he got in there with him.
Yeah.
Not everyone chose to do that.
That's right.
Not everyone did that. He fought the people that he had to fight. And sorry if I'm going off on a tangent, but when we look at the duck talk and all this kind of foolishness, he's the only person that's been out there collecting belts.
Yeah.
Everyone else, like Wilder never had one unification fight all them years he was champion for. Fury has never had to, as well, he's never defended his belts.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we know he's got his demons that he's got to fight. But Joshua's been the only guy out there having unification bouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I hear some of the narratives that are put towards him, I can't help but question the agenda attached to it all. You know, especially now, you notice all of the people that have had stuff to say regarding him and Wilder. No one's come out and questioned what Wilder said about the fact that he fought Fury instead of Joshua. Although prior to that, he never got an offer, apparently, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Right. So when I hear certain things, I kind of take it with a pinch of salt, and I have to look beneath the surface on it, because there clearly is a lot of agendas. Everyone's got their agenda and what have you, but there clearly are a lot of agendas toward Joshua, because I guess, you know, in many ways, he's like, he's he's multidimensional. He's like a, not even a triple threat, like a quadruple threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the guy models, the guy's got flipping literally every woman's heart in this bloody country, in half the world furthermore. Yeah. And like yesterday, I nearly had to clap my wife because she was talking some stupid smack. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he fights and he's got humility.
Yeah.
And furthermore, he's a quintuple threat because not only has he got humility, but when he gets nearer to fight time or he always shows that edge that used to get him in trouble with the police. You see it. Mm. You see it teetering on the brink every single time. And for me, it's like you look at it in terms of everything, how he's been marketed, how he speaks, the sound. I do think he's a bit of a soundbite king, but you know, he's got everything going for him. And I think that is the reason why he gets so much stick. Because he's literally come out of nowhere, won the Olympics, and then chosen well in terms of his promotional outfit, and now the guy is—he's the face of heavyweight boxing, and he has been
for quite a while
ever since he beat Charles Martin. Yeah,
I feel as though Joshua's upset the All Lives Matter crowd with some of his statements, but that was a large percentage of Anthony Joshua's fan base. If we're honest, the football hooligans who love to go out and get drunk and just chant random nonsense—a lot of them were following Joshua. And they're okay with supporting fighters like Joshua in so long as he has no opinion, particularly opinion that doesn't correlate with theirs. So when Joshua came out and showed that he wasn't just a big robot, like they like to think of him as, he has his own opinions, whether his own or someone else's, he has viewpoints that he wanted to share. That changed the perspective on him. But with regards to in the ring accomplishments, there isn't a fighter at heavyweight, in my opinion, that can compete with him at the moment. I think that he's forced everyone. If you look at Fury's resume, it's not weak. He has a decent resume, but it doesn't compare to Joshua's. So Hammer and Chisora twice, in fact, and then Vlad and Wilder, it makes for a decent resume. But Joshua actually has a really deep resume. Something that you touched on earlier on was how fast he's been taken through his career. He's been fast tracked, and which is, you know, is true. He started boxing at 19, is it?
Yeah.
I think people speak about how fast Lomachenko competed for titles, but the reality of it is Joshua has been fast tracked in his career even more so than Lomachenko, because Lomachenko turned pro in his 20s, didn't he? In his late 20s, and he'd been fighting. He'd been fighting for quite a while already. He had extensive amateur experience, and he fought all the best. He'd saw every style. Joshua was, you know, a relative novice, and he'd been entered into major tournaments because he is an athlete in a similar manner to Deontay Wilder. Wilder also started late, but he never learnt the fundamentals. He had success because he's an elite athlete. Deontay Wilder, he's, you know, got the range, he's 6'7", he's got explosive power, and that's what's given him some success, but he's never had the fundamentals. The difference between him and Joshua is, Joshua's also an elite athlete, but he has spent time practicing and working on the fundamentals as well, which is what makes him a good boxer. The fight yesterday, I think, was a really good performance from Joshua. He showed a little bit of everything. He showed that he can box and move. He showed he still has that stoppage power when he wants to use it. He was a little bit more confident when it came to taking shots because he did look really apprehensive in the second Ruiz fight. But I think that's kind of understandable. If you've been stopped brutally and you've been knocked down so many times, it's only sensible that you'd be apprehensive when you come to rematch that person. In this fight, he still grabbed and held a lot. When Pulev tried to put his punches together, but generally he looked a lot calmer and more relaxed in that situation. I think that he can beat Fury in the future, but I think it would be better if he fought Usyk first, another master boxer, but someone who has the right dimensions for Joshua to dominate. I think that will work as a really good learning fight for him, and that will help him prepare for some of the tricks that Fury might try to pull when they fight one another.
Yeah. Agree. I completely agree with that. Yeah. Completely agree with that. I think, you know, if you look at the movement that Joshua showed yesterday, it, you know, he's kicked on from the second Ruiz fight. Well, if you think about it, actually, the Parker fight was like a jab and move fight anyway. Only thing is, again, like I said before, his defense, rather than slipping, he was just putting his hands up and, you know, just trying to work his way out of it. Whereas yesterday he moved, and it takes a lot less energy if you just slip it to sidestep. And I, you know, I'm so glad that he was displaying that in front of Floyd.
Yeah.
As well. And it almost, I mean, the way they greet each other at the end of the fight and what was said, it almost seems as though he's been he's almost been consulted.
Yeah.
He's almost been consulted by Floyd, you know what I mean, in certain things. And I hear what you're saying about the Fury situation. I know Tunde's displayed his feelings as well. I do think the Usyk fight is like very important in terms of how he ends up dealing with Fury.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, I don't really want to see the Usyk fight before the Fury fight.
Right.
Because to say it plain, I'm not interested in the Usyk fight. Really think, because, you know, he deserves the opportunity to be an undisputed world champion. He's been patient.
Yeah.
He's been slandered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, we've never seen this. He had two fighters from two separate promotional outfits. Well, three if you include Queensbury and Top Rank for Fury. He had two fighters from a combined three promotional outfits literally come together to rubbish his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is in quite poor taste for me.
It is.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's had... say that again, Rich.
It's been completely poor taste. It's an entertainment sport, so they should be making the fights and not thinking of ways to, you know, freeze out fighters. It doesn't make any sense. Particularly when he's the largest draw out of all of them anyway.
Yeah, but that again, that was part of the reason why he got frozen out the way he did, is because they were hoping that doing that was going to get them on a financial par with him. They'll never be on a financial par with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think about it, again, this is a discussion that myself and Tunde have had over the years. Wilder came to England, commentated on a fight with Vlad and AJ.
Mm.
But it was calling out Tony Bellew.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You had an opportunity right there and then to say, you know what? I've got a WBC belt. You've just added the WBA to your IBF. Yeah. We've now got to try and get Parker between either of us and have a unification and have an undisputed fight. Yeah. But instead he was chasing the money because and he knew that Tony Bellew, as a matchroom fighter at the time, was going to provide the financial breakthrough that he needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and then let's not forget, I mean, I'm sure he's still doing the rounds on YouTube right now. The video or the audio clip of Fury mentioning Anthony Joshua whilst he was still an amateur because he got seven bells knocked out of him by AJ.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, when the casuals particularly talk the Fury Omada stuff on AJ, I don't mean to dismiss it, but at the same time it's like, well, you know, unless you know what I know or what people who are in the fight game know, I don't want to hear what you got to say because it's casual. It's casual nonsense. It's verbal diarrhea.
Yeah,
you understand. But AJ has now earned that fight. He's more than earned the fight. And what we don't want to see is what we saw with Wilder, which is Fury holding a belt hostage, taking on subpar opposition.
Yeah.
To avoid the fight, and then using this person, whoever it is that he fights, to discredit AJ. Because you got Andre Ward. Sorry to go back to this now. Sorry, Tunde. I know what you guys have got to speak, but, you know,
okay.
Yeah. You've got Andre Ward criticising Anthony Joshua for knocking out Kubrat Pulev, who has not been knocked out since Vladimir Klitschko beat him.
Yeah.
Yet still, yet still, there's not one criticism of Fury for fighting Tom Schwartz and Otto Wallin. Otto Wallin, who he just about beat as well.
Yeah, and Francesco Pianetta.
And we won't talk about Francesco Pianetta. We don't. yeah, we don't need to talk about Francesco Pianetta, right? Because, but what we need to do is highlight the fact that this guy, who was arguably P4P number one once Floyd retired, even though he didn't fight for too much longer, right? This is a guy who knows the game in and out, who was with a Hall of Fame trainer from the time that he was a youngster, yeah, and. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, had one of the best skill sets in the game that kind of went under the radar because he wasn't as brash and as outspoken as Floyd, so he never quite had the fanfare.
Yeah.
You're talking about a man who knows the game inside out. But you're going to criticise the guy who doesn't have the extensive experience, who doesn't have the extensive knowledge or in the ring or fight knowledge. Yeah. And you're going to praise the guy who's... He punched his way out of his mother's womb.
Yeah, there's an obvious bias. There's obviously there's been a bit of a back and forth because Joshua mentioned some of Ward's criticisms recently. You spoke about the earlier criticisms where Ward said he thinks he could move up to heavy and beat Joshua, and there was also when he spoke about Joshua being on social media a bit too much. Which is funny. These two are quite similar in age. There's not a huge... It's almost like he's trying to speak down to him as you would, you know, to your junior. I think it's quite disrespectful. Despite Andre Ward being a pound-for-pound fighter in his career, I don't know that he necessarily has accomplished... He's a two-weight world champion. Has he accomplished a dramatically large amount more than Anthony Joshua? I don't think he has, despite all of his skill. So...
No way,
I don't think he's in any position to really be criticising the way Joshua is performing when he's a two-time world champion, he's an Olympic gold medalist, and he has a really strong resume. I think it's clear that he either wants to fight or, you know, he's a bit like Larry Holmes. It happens with a lot of former greats. They become quite bitter when they retire and they're very overly critical of the current generation of fighters. And that's what I see with Andre Ward.
Because I didn't listen to what you said yesterday. I can't deal with all that sort of commentary. It does my head in. And going back to what David was saying in regards to casuals, the way I look at casuals is the way I look at a child when you ask them what's 2 + 2 and they say 25,000. That's how I view their commentaries. It's just a nonsense. It's like I can't do it. It's like you're speaking to somebody just talking gibberish, and he won't. I don't listen to it. So, you know, it's I think in terms of, you know, going back to what you were saying, Rich, about the sort of backlash that Joshua has been having. It's, you know, like you said, you know, a lot of the his fan base are, a lot of them are casual, so they've been, you know, like, they probably thought he's another Frank Bruno, you know, second coming of Frank Bruno, and, you know, let's get behind him, he's gonna be one of us, mm-hmm. da 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 da. And it's like, and in this country especially, it's like, you can be good, but not too good. Yeah? You can be great, but not too great. And that's it. And especially when you're, like, you know, an ethnic minority, you're black and that, then there's always that sort of questions like, you can be black, but not too black. Yeah? You can be out there and a bit outspoken, but not too outspoken where they start to get a bit uncomfortable. So, you know, that BLM rally that he took part in, that's when they just started going nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, not even before that, when he put up a post of him in a mosque. I think he was in, in Dubai?
Yeah, he was.
Right? And the vitriol that, like, some of these people saying, oh, I will never support him again. Da-da-da-da-da. He's a terrorist. Da-da. All of this stuff about, you know...
There was the thing with Chambers as well. That was, I can understand why some of them were offended, but there's a collection of things now. You said, what was it, the superior black, you're an embarrassment to the superior black race, which is going to cause upset. But that should have been kept.
I don't think he said
that should have been kept between fighters. That was behind the scenes. It seemed to be a personal problem between them, and Chambers knew exactly what he was doing, leaking that to a public platform.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Brilliant. I do not. With that, I'm a bit dubious about.
You don't think it was real?
I don't think it was real. I really don't. Mm. It's just. The thing is, like, you know, and a lot of people will say things for clout and they'll say whatever. And, it, you know, like, anybody that's good at Photoshop can just doctor certain bits and pieces. I don't know for certain whether that was the case or not, but it's just a bit too, it's a bit too convenient. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so stuff like that is nuts. And when you're in the public eye like that, are you really going to say something like that? You know, especially when, like, you know, everything is evidence. You could just screenshot stuff. Are you really going to say that when the majority of your fan base are?
Yeah, you're right.
It's and this is somebody who is media savvy. Why would you do that?
And if you
like, it's
no, sorry, carry on, carry on, not going after.
No, if you're someone that's been media trained, and I know a lot of the matchroom fighters are, right? Especially when you get to a certain level of scrutiny, like, you're told these are some of the things that you should not be doing. Don't put anything out there that is likely to, you know, enrage your fan base, especially where it pertains to you know, to race, to gender, you know, like. You won't do it unless you're really stupid. Yeah. That's not something you're going to do. So I'm really sort of dubious about that whole, you know, that whole situation. The BLM rally, again, you know, I think I was reading somebody else's speech. David were talking about that before. Yeah. So, and then these people are just, they were just enraged. And I saw on a post, I think it was a Sky Sports post where they were just, no, actually, it was on Facebook. And somebody put up a post saying, you know, if you want AJ to win, remember this. And they put up the screenshot of him at the rally. Remember what he said. Do not support him. And I'm just... it just goes back to what you're saying, what I was saying earlier about they want you to, you know, you can succeed, but not to, you know, you can't have too much success. Because then they'll just turn on you. And that's what we're seeing. If he, you know, he fights Fury, when that fight is made, you watch how many of them people will be like, Fury, just because he's, you know, he's white. I want him to beat this black, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what's going to happen. And then there'll be near riots if AJ beats Fury. Yeah, you'll see.
Right. Guys, this is fantastic. It's time for us to wrap up, though. So, it's been Richard, Tunde, and Dave on the TBK podcast.